Blog Talk Radio.
This is what men do to try to get every hair. This is what we do. Introducing Fusion Pro Glide, rebuilt with FlexBall technology, makes maximum contact over tricky contours and gets virtually every hair. New FlexBall for the Fusion Pro Glide. Gillette, the best a man can get.
This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Tonight, we have an interview with Mary Joy, licensed mental health counselor, and our topic tonight is how domestic violence affects mental health and wellness. Before we begin, I want to say thanks to everyone for supporting my show. I want to thank the WBNN family for all their support I received from you. It really means a lot to me, and a special shout out to Brother O for giving me this opportunity to share my point of view. Tonight, we begin with a quote from Maya Angelou. Each time a woman stands up for herself without knowing it, possibly without claiming it, she stands up for all women. I'd like to take a few moments to introduce my guest today. Mary Joy is a licensed mental health counselor, life coach, and Florida Supreme Court certified family member mediator. She is a recovered codependent, and her transformative journey was featured on O Magazine. She is a best-selling writer for thedailyo.com, and her most popular course, From Codependent to Independent, is often in the top 10 and has sold tens of thousands of copies. She contributes as a guest and author, interviewer to OpenToHope.com, The Huffington Post, Prevention, Thrive Global, Up Journey, Psychology Today, Psych Central, Central Florida Health News, and many other publications. Mary is a guest on podcasts and teaches seminars on codependency. Life coaching clients from around the globe seek her help navigating codependent recovery. She supported herself as a stagehand, earning her undergraduate degree in theater. Her first job was working for the rock group KISS as a makeup artist, and it relates in her book, This was the perfect starter job for an unaware codependent, as meeting the needs of a rock star was easy after her intense upbringing working with her father's psychiatric practice. She then was a professional songwriter and singer in a Nashville Warner Brothers and incorporates music in her healing work. As a psychiatrist's daughter, she understands how it feels to be an extension of a family image, and better yet, how to become independent of past programming and work towards healthy relationships. Mary helps others become conscious of their subconscious and assists them to expedite healing with meditations, visualizations, affirmations, and guided imagery. Mary Jo, welcome to the show.
I really appreciate it, Mo.
Yes, yes, yes. Wonderful. It's just so wonderful hearing all about you.
I look so forward to sharing with everyone tonight about this subject because it's so often overlooked.
It is. So we're going to jump right in. I'm going to start with the first question. Mary Joy, does domestic violence affect our mental health and wellness at all?
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't just affect a person's mental health and wellness. It affects everyone around that person. Because so many domestic violence victims hide it. They don't tell anyone, so they may be irritable in their friendships and hiding things and seem disingenuous, and their friends might judge them, people might judge them, but really they're being battered. You know, they can't go to functions, they can't go to parties, they're not being antisocial, they can't do things because their spouse won't let them. So, and domestic violence does not just happen to women. Unfortunately, I see it happen to men too. So, yes, it affects everyone around you. It affects every generation behind you if you tolerate it for too long. What gets normalized, we get desensitized to, and it'll carry into generations. Like you'll have three generations back, and if you went back farther, you might see more of women who are battered in a home or men or any abuse like that. So it affects everyone around you.
Right. You were saying that, and I was thinking about the children. I grew up in I've spoken to this on my first show. We talked about different types of family, different types of abuse. And I grew up in a family that was very violent, with substance abuse as well. But it just, it's it makes me wonder, what about the children? You know, the children are affected too.
They are, and they have no way to verbalize that, so they internalize it, and they think it's normal. And I grew up in a violent home too, and, you know, there was a lot of, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone, there was a lot of hunting and a lot of, you know, killing animals, and I was an animal lover. And there was, you know, my brother was very violent. He'd punch holes through the walls, and my parents didn't do anything about it. And every now and then, you know, my dad would come uncorked. And it was, you know, was occasionally, but my brother was especially like that. And it gets normalized if no one protects you. And so many children in homes where there's violence, even though parents think they're fighting behind closed doors, your kids know you're fighting. They really do. They can hear feel it. They can taste it. They can sense it. They just can't verbalize it. They don't have the vocabulary for it.
Right. Exactly. So in a nutshell, what is domestic violence for those people that don't know?
Well, domestic violence is violence. I would love it. If someone walked up to you in the street, if they just hit you across the face or hit you, you know, broke a bottle over your head or punched you in the stomach. You know, we've been seeing this Johnny Depp trial. We don't know how this is going to play out. But if someone just walks up on the street and just does bad things to you, they would get charged with assault and battery. And if they tried to kill you, it'd be aggravated assault. And they could. And if they did kill you, then it would be manslaughter or homicide. If it happens in a home, domestic violence, they might get locked up for 72 hours. And I liken that to shooting a grizzly bear with a BB gun. And I hope that makes sense to people, because when you lock someone up for 72 hours, you've just made them a little bit madder. And that BB is still sticking in their hand, and they blame the victim for it. And it's absolutely horrendous. So I think if I could change the laws, I think there shouldn't be domestic violence laws. There should just be violence laws.
I have to agree with you on that. I used to work as a nurse, and I used to see people come in, whole families sometimes, just traumatized from one person. It didn't matter if it was the male creating the violence or the female creating the violence.
Right.
But I would see the entire family affected. So I can completely understand what you were saying.
Yes. You know, one time I had to get a restraining order, and I really wasn't happy about that, but I really didn't have a choice because there were threats. And, you know, I was married to someone who was also violent. And that restraining order was held up by two states because I moved out of state. But I will tell you, it absolutely is very difficult to get restraining orders. And when I went to get one, I was shocked because in the court system where I got this restraining order, I'm down here in Florida, but they put the perpetrators on one side of the room and they put the victims on the other side, which the victims are the plaintiffs and the other ones are the defendants. And I will tell you that all of the people that I saw almost all on the perpetrator side were kind of loud and boisterous and treating it like a joke. And on the victim side, it broke my heart because I was one of them, and I've walked other people through that system, so I've seen it more than once. Their heads are down. They look ashamed. They're afraid. They want to leave. They want to run. They want to not do it. I'm telling you, it is so weird to see that dividing line between perpetrator and victim. Somehow the victim has taken on the shame of the perpetrator because they all have their heads down, and they all look ashamed and embarrassed when actually they should be the ones with their chin up, and the other side should be the one with their chin. It's a very interesting, twisted dynamic of trauma bonding that happens.
Right. Yeah, that is amazing. A lot of people do have they feel shame, they feel embarrassed. I've seen professional women, like you were saying, like yourself, myself, go in, and there's such a sense of shame that goes along with it. They don't even want to look up at you. They don't even want to look
up. No, how could I let this happen to myself? And it is a form of self-harm to allow yourself to be battered. So I did finally realize when I was writing the books about codependency and things, I said, you know, this is a form of self-harm. However, when things are normalized to you as a child, it takes a while for you to wake up. And, you know, I'm a therapist, but I went to therapy to figure it out. And I went, oh, and then when I studied this in graduate school, I said, I was reenacting my childhood, trying to gain mastery over it in my marriage. And the truth of it is I couldn't be good enough to make my husband happy. I couldn't do enough for him. I couldn't be enough for him. I was either too fat or too skinny. There was, and that actually happened. And one day I said to him, I had enough autonomy. This was early in our marriage. It was 20 years of this. I said, somewhere between too fat and too skinny, I was the right size, and you didn't say anything that day. It's, you're either too much or not enough. And then the what usually, if someone's in a domestic violence situation out there, I want you to notice what usually happens before you get battered. Right before you get battered, the perpetrator will start asking you loaded questions that seem not loaded. They'll say, like, why are you wearing that? Why did you say that? Who were you on the phone? They start asking questions, and then they start escalating those questions, like badgering you. You know, where have you been? What are you doing? Why are you saying that? Why are you wearing that? Why are you watching that on TV? They'll start with questions, and then you're going to have a wrong answer. They're going to make sure that you give them a wrong answer. They're setting you up for lose-lose, and then wham, bam, no thanks, ma'am, that you may be hurt and you don't know how it happened. But watch out for any barrage of questionings. Watch out for when they posture themselves inside your door. Like if you're inside a room and they're standing at the door, you can't get out. Watch out for that.
That's when
bad things happen. Those questions are your answer for how does this happen? How does this start?
Yes, that is a very detailed answer. My gosh, I don't know how many people have told me that has happened to them, that they were in a room and their husband or their loved one got them cornered and that's when it started, or they started a fight for no reason. And they didn't even see it coming. So that is a great point to make.
Pay attention to those questions. When they start badgering you with questions, get very still, quiet, and find your way out. Get an exit.
Right. We have a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O.
So long, and how can you fall? take your song from. You
This is a product of WBN, and this is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. We have caller one in the queue. Caller one, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from? Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, she's asking you where you're calling from. And I know you hear me. And I'm your brother.
Yes, I do.
And guess what? I've heard everything you guys have talked about. And guess what? I have to send them in.
The thing is that, you know, we all have, you know, childhood trauma that comes back to us at a later age. You know, you don't think about it, you know, when you're young. Because you don't know what's right or wrong, you know. Then at a later age, then you figure out what the fuck did Uncle John or Uncle what? Oh, excuse my language. What did Uncle you know whatever did to me? And then you figure it out. And then once you figure it out, you say, "Oh, wait a minute, hold up. I need somebody to be my soulmate." You know, and you know what? That lady that just talked to you, she's looking for a soulmate. She is looking for a soulmate. She is not looking for a hookup. No, she's looking for a soulmate. And that's exactly what it's about. You know, that's exactly what it's about. That's exactly what it's about, Delary. I listened to it, and she can come back on here if she wants, you know, but,
she's listening. Did you have a question for her?
Yeah, I'm sure she's listening. I'm sure she's listening, you know, everybody's not the same. Everybody's not the same. And, you know, the thing is that we all been through it, you know, and we all have to get over it. We all have to get over it.
We can't just get over it. It's about going through a process to get through it. And
right.
Part of it is acknowledging what
we've been
through.
Yeah, because it's not just a thing that you can just get over. Right.
Mary, do you have any comment there?
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm good, Stellar. Everyone's different, yeah.
Yeah,
and,
I totally agree with that.
The thing is,
processes trauma differently.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a competition. It takes some people longer to get over it than others.
Yeah, exactly. And I am so glad that, you know, I got over mine, and I can help people get over theirs, you know. And that's the thing, because we had no control back then. But guess what? We got control now. We got control over our lives now. We have control over our lives now. And, you know, guess what? We're not going to put our kids through that stuff. We're not going to put our nieces and nephews through that stuff. You know, that's not going to happen. So that's the thing, you know, the madness.
Yes. Stop it. That's what I tell them. Just stop abusing your family.
Yep. To stop the madness.
Well, thank you very much for calling in.
Thank
you. Calling from tonight.
You're welcome. You're welcome, sweetie.
All right. You take care.
All right.
Mary, my next question is basically hitting on some of the things that he was talking about. What family issues develop as a result of domestic violence?
Well, post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms can develop within the family. The whole family can be traumatized and revolve around that one abuser trying to make a mission. Is losing yourself while you're caring for someone else or covering up for someone else. And that is often the dynamic. We've seen that in many films like Prince of Tides. You know, the kids start covering up and the mother starts covering up, and then that causes shame, and then the embarrassment sets in. So the dynamics are mostly, you know, it's funny because there are sayings, and we've all heard them. Keep your family secrets. Don't air your dirty linen in public. Don't tell people what's on in this house. And who are we protecting? Almost always a perpetrator. Absolutely, that is the dynamic. When people say don't tell your family secrets, it's because you're protecting a perpetrator. Sometimes that's attached to money too. Many, many times I tell women that are in these situations, and men too, but it is mostly women, that money got them in the situation because they're trapped, and money will get them out to go make some. So it really, there's a lot of financial abuse involved in many of the domestic violence. When people say, why don't you just leave? I tell them, why don't you just tell a heroin addict to quit using heroin? It's like addiction. This person has trauma bonded you. They're wonderful, and then they're horrible. They're wonderful, and then they're horrible. So you keep chasing after the wonderful one, and it creates like this physiological, chemical hook. And there's biology to this. A trauma bond is done with reinforcement. This is how people get in these situations. Well, he was so nice to me. She was so nice to me. Now they're so mean to me. You know, you don't know which one is which, and you have a lot of self-doubt. That's why I tell people, please don't give people the benefit of the doubt, because you're giving them the benefit and you're just going to end up with self-doubt. Just treat everyone with respect, and also have people treat you with respect. If you feel good about yourself around someone, they're safe for you. If you don't feel good about yourself around someone, they're not safe.
Right. You just answered a question I was going to ask about domestic violence resulting in codependency and a trauma bond, but you just answered that. You were saying
there's a lot of biology to it. There's a lot of biology to it. And I would encourage people, you know, I could go into a neuroscience lecture, or you could Google it or whatever you need to do. But a trauma bond, this is why women can't leave. This is why men can't leave. But I love her, but I love him. It looks like love and it feels like love, but it's a trauma bond, because the anxiety of leaving this person is so intense and great because they made you feel like no one would love you and you're unlovable and unwantable, that they've made you feel that way, like you feel so badly about yourself that you only feel good around this person. It's actually, that's not what's happening. You're less anxious when you're connected to a trauma bonder, and when they separate from you, you feel abandoned. So it's like, it's the family dynamic that you can see. I mean, again, I don't, you know, this case is ongoing that we're seeing on TV, and people say, why does that Johnny Depp case matter? And I say, well, it matters not because it's Johnny Depp, but because there's been domestic violence. And when he described his childhood, you could watch him flashing back into the trauma bond, talking about how his mother would beat him and what his father would do. And he was stuttering. I mean, he's an actor and he was stuttering. He could not act. That wasn't acting he was doing. In fact, he asked the judge if he could get up and act it out, because it was easier for him than talking about it. He could barely speak. And I've told people, you know, recently in my office that have been battered. I said, watch what happens. That's your vagus nerve. That's that fight, flight, or frozen kicking in, and then you can't even talk because your nerve is attached, you know, not just to your the vagus nerve isn't just in your brain. It goes all the way down your back. It runs through your throat. So it makes you tongue-tied, makes you nauseous. I tell people the same thing that makes you take your breath away at the Grand Canyon is the same thing that makes your breath go away when you have a panic attack. So you're in panic mode and survival mode when you're in a trauma bond, and you feel like you can't live without that person. But if you can get away from that person for 2 or 3 weeks, the addiction issues wear off, the anxiety goes down, like withdrawals, and you can successfully get away from it. Like the gentleman said earlier, it is a process out. Just like you said, Mo, it's a process out. It doesn't happen overnight. You didn't get conditioned overnight, so you can't get out overnight.
Right. Thank you so much for that. We have a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O.
There's a feeling here inside that I cannot hide, and I know I've tried, but it's turning me around.
Product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. We have caller two in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Peace and blessings, Mancho, and peace and blessings to your guests.
Hello, Sister Bessie. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing much better today.
That's great.
Yes. I'm listening to your guests, and I just wanted to say, do you ever get over the pain that you received in your youth? And does it add on to your spirit when other people don't treat you fairly? Are they are abusive to you? After you went through this when you were young, and as you got older, you still had abuse from other people, and it makes you not want to be around people to protect yourself. So what do you think about that?
I think that's a beautiful question and a lovely insight, because that's exactly what happens to a traumatized brain. It feels like withdrawing, because if you're not around people, no one can hurt you. So it's protecting, your brain's protecting yourself so well, it's harming you because you're not socializing correctly. And so do you ever get over it? I think you can evolve from it. I believe in post-traumatic growth too. And it's taken me a long time. And oh boy, I mess up all the time. I'll get involved with people, even just friendships where I went, wow, they zinged me or that hurt. Or I've hurt them because I wasn't honest about, you know, why I didn't like a certain thing that they did because it was triggering me from something from my childhood. You know, you can't just walk around talking about your childhood all the time. But if someone does something that reminds you of your childhood, yes, it's going to affect you. So I think maybe if we just have a little more transparency with some of our friends, and a real friend, if you tell a real friend, you know, when you yell at me like that, or when you disagree with me so vehemently, or when you tell me I have to believe in what you believe in, or I have to, you know, listen to you, and you have to, you know, like, listen to me, here's what you should do, here's what I would do, those kind of friends that tell you what to do, give unsolicited advice. You have to maybe be transparent and say, you know, it reminds me so much of my mom or my dad or whoever your abuser was. And just say, I need it a little differently because I'm trying to evolve past this trauma. And if that friend understands you, that's a great friend. If that friend says, you're too sensitive, get over it, that's not a real friend. They're not. They don't have empathy for you. So hang on to those few fine friends you have. So do you ever get over it? No, but you get through it and you can evolve from it and you can learn things because of it. And not, it, don't try to make sense of the senseless, but you can evolve and find compassionate, kind friendships. And I really wish you well that you do. So yes, it can make you feel like withdrawing, but just get back out there and do your best to find people the most like you that'll support you for exactly who you are, traumatized and all. If you can tell people your triggers and they don't get offended by that, what a great friend that is. I love my friends that understand that. If I say, look, that's triggering me, you know, don't snap your fingers at me. You know, I had a mom that did that to me. And they'll go, oh, I forgot. And we'll laugh. That's different. Somebody said, just get over it. You're too sensitive. That's not a friend. So thank you. What a beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you. I just wanted to say this. Sometimes people don't put their stories out. And what helped me a lot was when I put my story on paper. And I put it on paper for the world to see. And I periodically go back and read my own story in order to strengthen me.
Yes. That's beautiful. Mo, that is. Because when I was editing my book, I you're braver than I am, because I could have read my own book for the audio book, and it was okay to edit or read my stories, but I couldn't read them out loud. It was just too painful. So if something's too painful for you, just slow down or stop. But and my book isn't about me. It's just got little snippets of things that happened so people would understand that I understand, because everyone's different.
Yes.
But, yes, that's beautiful. When you put your story out there, just like you are now, you called in. You put a little piece of yourself out there and made yourself a little bit vulnerable to two people that you know understand you and that you can – you haven't even met us, and we don't even know where you are, but that you know that we're a trusted people because we're telling our stories. So the more we help each other out and make these stories – we need to make the – stories normalized, not keep the secrets normalized, but get the stories out there. The more transparency we have, the more healing we'll have.
Thank you. I'm a fellow host on the show. My segment is The Front Porch, and I will be on the 29th of April. And I thank you so much, and I'm going to sit back and enjoy the show. Great job, Mancho.
Thank you so much, Sister Bessie. That was International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting nominee, Sister Bessie the Truther. Next, we have caller 3 in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us where you're calling from and who you are?
Hi, I'm calling out of Philadelphia. My name is Stephanie. And
hi, Stephanie. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you. I want to apologize. I came in on the show a little late, but I've been listening for the past 15 minutes, and I heard the guest mention PTSD. I've been engaging with this idea lately as a result of my own need to heal. And I wanted to ask the caller, I don't know, I didn't hear her background or anything, but I was just wondering, when you mentioned PTSD, you mentioned the biology of PTSD. And I've learned that trauma can cause injury to the brain. It can cause changes in the brain. And
yes.
I know you mentioned it relative to domestic violence, but I've also heard that it can come about as a result of neglect and abandonment in early childhood. And so I'm just wondering a couple of things after hearing you, you know, and when you spoke to Sister Bessie just now, you know, it sounded as if, you know, many of the ways that you heal are behavioral. And I get that, but I'm just wondering, is there really any way to make those changes, how to make those changes in the brain, to heal the brain, and, you know, and as you make behavioral changes? And are those injuries to the brain, are they passed on genetically in any way to offspring? So, yeah, those are two things that I was really wondering about.
Great questions. So the offspring part, I'll answer that one first. There, science is looking into that right now. I think so, but I'm not a researcher. But they think so too. They are really looking into that, the neuroscience of passing trauma down through the generations. Can that be done? Probably, but they just can't prove it yet because the imaging for brains is, you know, it's not as advanced as other kinds of imaging that we have, but it's getting there. And then the other, the PTSD, absolutely it causes brain damage. It damages your hippocampus, which is the main part of your memory. That actually shrinks. Your memory center shrinks. There are ways other than behavioral changes. I always tell people don't shoot the messenger here, but I've been meditating most of my life, and I can tell on the days I don't meditate. Now, meditating does not mean you have to sit in an ashram and chant. That's not what I'm talking about. PTSD does well with guided meditations or just silent meditations, even just walking in your favorite place in nature, just being with yourself, breathing and noticing mindful things like the leaves on the trees or just imagining beautiful images. I have a YouTube channel with meditations to help people with codependency, and none of them are over 12 minutes long. You can make them short. Just getting in touch with yourself and being conscious of your subconscious is so important for healing, because then if you recognize your triggers, you can neutralize your triggers. So you're recognizing that vagus nerve response, like that, if you get a, like that feeling in the gut of your stomach, someone just makes you ill when you see them, just go, okay, what is that about? You know, see if you can make a connection between the past and the present so you won't react so much in the future. I hope that helped, because it's, I mean, there's a lot of things going on in your brain when you're getting through trauma. So, and it does, like adrenaline and cortisol remain in your muscle tissue. You just have emotional flooding and numbing, but there are ways. Meditation is good. There is medication for some of it. If it's really bad, there's different medications, and that would, you'd have to go to your doctor for those. But meditation is so good for your brain. Traveling, that it satisfies the fight or flight. Taking a long drive, again, walking. Running, because those all satisfy our flight or flight mechanism in our brains. And when you exercise every day, it releases that adrenaline and cortisol and brings in dopamine and serotonin. So again, don't be mad at the messenger, but exercise really does help reduce trauma symptoms. That's been proven.
I have found that to be true for myself personally. And so that's why I wanted to ask you about that. But I'm really curious when you talked about the researchers that are looking into the generational effects of trauma on the brain. You know, I think about what made me ask you that question was when I think about the Atlantic slave trade and, you know, African Americans and being the descendants of slaves in this country and what impact, you know, that has had, that is a very profound consideration, you know, when we talk about
that's
Trump.
That's one of the reasons researchers are looking into it for just the issue that you brought up, because we're seeing generational trauma and anxiety come down. We're seeing trauma symptoms coming through the generations. So there's got to be a genetic component, doesn't there? It's a great question. I hope they find the answer, because we need to know, because it's important. It's really important. Really important. They do know this much. They know this much. Because my grandfather came from a different country, and one that people didn't like Italians in the old days. They really, really, really didn't like them. And I remember he told me how scared he was. And I did remember reading in one textbook in school that children of immigrants for two and three generations down suffer from anxiety and they feel inferior. And I would say that would be true in looking at my family. So it's got to be true in the bigger picture of what you're presenting there. And it's a huge picture. And somebody needs to talk about, and they really are. I've seen many, you know, I get things from the Board of Health or I subscribe to scholarly articles. They're really looking into generational trauma. And it looks like more and more and more that it is passed down through the generations. And we need to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Could you mention your book information again, please?
It's Codependent Discovery and Recovery 2.0. It's on Amazon and every other place you can buy it. And also you can access all the meditations on YouTube. At the end of every chapter is a brief meditation, and they're on YouTube for free. You don't even have to buy the book. They're right on there for free. I love it that my publisher let me do that, because they're there for you. You don't even have to read them in the book. You can just turn YouTube on, and they're right there. Look up Mary Joy Codependency YouTube, and it'll come right up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for beautiful, great questions.
Okay. We'll have a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend Brother O. This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. Caller 4 in the queue is International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Lifetime Achiever, Jerry Petito. Jerry, how you doing tonight?
Hi. I didn't expect that. Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm okay. You know, I'm listening to this, and I'm going, wow, 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 wow. The Italian thing, that's your guest, correct?
Yes, that's me.
Hi. I was going to say something about my dad being on that boat from Italy to here at 13, and then you started talking about the Italian immigrants. I kid you not.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my goodness. Okay, so I want to share something with you. And don't kill the messenger like you were saying, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I have a little different take on it. And, you know, I'm a recovery coach, and I'm also a nutritional health coach, and I'm an author on addiction, and I also cured myself of two cancers like 30 years ago naturally, and now I help addicts and people who, you know, are sick. I've been behind the scenes in different countries, Russia, everywhere, with Lenox Hill Hospital back in the day in the 80s, back in the 80s, and I even looked at brains under microscopes. And this is my take on things. Like what you said was so interesting and amazing. You know, my father was put on a boat from Italy to America alone at teen, not knowing the language, to meet an uncle he never met. And imagine us doing that to our 13-year-old. Impossible, right? That's what we think, right?
Yes.
Well, my dad's whole family ended up here, and they were the strongest family mentally, everything. All they did was work hard, and all their trauma and everything that went on, they just pushed it aside and dealt with it and said, we got to move on, and we've got to, you know, survive. And they were amazing, amazingly strong.
Yes,
so
they were.
yes, they were, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I inherited that, and my brother as well, from my parents, being this strong, crazy, strong person. Okay. But I'm sharing that to say this. What I feel and believe about, like, trauma and addiction and all that being brought down generation to generation and in the cells and in the brain, I don't totally believe that 100%. What I believe is it's inherited based on what our parents are teaching us. So in other words, if the parent is dealing with all this emotional trauma and hurt and hasn't dealt with it properly in her life or his life, then that child will be brought up with that same trauma. So I don't believe that the child is born with it in their genes or in their brain cells. I believe it's taught. And, you know, I remember helping someone, and their story was horrendous. I mean, God, thank you, God, you know, I don't have to deal with that in my family. That was horrible, and that broke my heart. But the one thing that I tried to get through to this person was we have to break that bond with our children of what happened to us so that they don't go through that and
yes.
pass it down. That's how I kind of see it. Like if the
generation
deals with it.
You're talking about your children's resilience. You're teaching your children resilience as opposed to just the trauma, which is a beautiful thing. My grandfather did do that. And when you say they put
yes.
aside their trauma, they did. They put it aside to an extent, but you know, they many of them were workaholics too, so it would show up
yes,
in other
they were
areas.
Workaholics,
I completely,
yes.
but I and it was out of anxiety and fear. But I do completely understand. That's why they're studying how come some children are resilient and how come some aren't. I mean, we see some refugee children from all over the world in all kinds of situations that they're fine. They grew up fine. Other ones, they'll stub their toe when they're 5 years old and they're not fine. So
right.
they're studying that. Yes, we're looking at it. I mean, everybody's looking into it. So I do totally agree with you. We should teach our children that, okay, this may have happened in your family, but it doesn't have to stay this way. You can break the cycle.
It's good
that you guys said this. I got to come on. First of all, Jeff Petito.
Come on, baby.
And, you know, a wonderful young lady who is part of our legacy tonight being interviewed by Mo Garman. And what more can we say tonight that is absolutely true? My father was a doctorate studyist in theology. And the things he went through, you know, being seventh of 22 children, you know, by the great and outstanding Christina Beverly and Claude A. Beverly. They taught love. Love is the key. No matter what you're going through in this life, you know, it makes the difference. My dad taught me an outstanding genealogy. My mom, you know, being, you know, from Africa, you know, taught me, you know, it doesn't matter what you're going through, you are part of a great people. And that's what I try to instill, you know, not just being a producer of a story network, but just being a human being that loves people. We're here to change the dynamic.
Yeah.
Period. The key is loving the people you're around. This network I love because everybody on this network is family. You know, a lot of people didn't understand that. Going all the way back to the old days of Beverly Nation. And now with WBNN. The people who are here right now love the outstanding opportunity to broadcast and to be able to share this type of thesis tonight to help people and change people. That's the key.
Yes.
We have to be able to garner love, honor, and respect for everybody. I heard something tonight that was key. And it was, you know, a stalwart. It was a sounding bell. Let us be able to heal folk while we have the chance, before it's too late.
Yeah.
A sounding bell, a beacon of light, a lighthouse out there in uncharted land. I'm through.
Love you, man.
Yeah, I got tears in my eyes. Thank you.
You know,
I needed to hear that. Beautiful.
I want to say one last thing before I let you guys go. Because what you're saying is just so beautiful. And, wow, okay, you took my breath away tonight. I want everybody out there to understand one thing. You're not powerless, not over anything. Don't read into that and don't believe the lies you're told, not through addiction, not through anything. You're not powerless, okay, especially through God. Okay, God healed me of everything. He took everything away. And, you know, we have to get to a point where we could stand up and say, you know what? That may have happened, but I'm bigger than this now, and I'm putting that aside as much as I can. We need to heal. So you're not powerless, okay? Just wanted to share that with everybody out there. And thank you, ladies. What a beautiful show.
You, and I always,
thank
I really
you,
appreciate
Jen.
It. As something that rhymes, and I just say trauma doesn't have to define you. It can refine you. And I'm glad we've all found each other because love is the answer to all of this. Loving, kind people who will share stories and make the fear turn into excitement for a better life.
Wow. Awesome. Thanks for calling in, Jerry. Caller 5 is in the queue next. Caller, can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Hey, peace. How you doing, Mo Garman? How you doing?
Oh, it's International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Lifetime Achiever-elect Huni Baka-Toon.
God, either you psychic, I tell you what, try to say that 5 times in a row with it.
I know.
I don't think so.
Man, I tell you, on the real, though, this is a nice, nice show. Matter of fact, I even say it's better than nice. It's great. Thank you so much to your special honored guest. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing not just your insight, but the input for so many people who need it. This is definitely one for the Hall of Records. And Mo Garman, you already know that you keep raising the bar, so I got some great news for you. You're already psychic, so you already know what I'm about to say, don't you?
No, I don't.
No.
Okay. All right, here we go. Congratulations, Mo Garman, on your WBNN all-time connection record, your third all-time, and the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship. See, even me, I had to take a breath in the middle.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome. Hey, on the real, thank you. Thank you so much. That's one thing I love about the greatest network here of our turning time here at WBNN. You know, so many hosts like the Hall of Fame, Jared Petito, the Lifetime Achiever, you know, coming on, Hall of Fame nominated Sister Betsy, so many people that called in. And it's great to see so many participate, okay? So I definitely wanted to share the great news, and I'm going to put it on pause and listen to the rest of the show, okay?
Thank you so much. Okay, Mary, are you up for some more questions, or how are you doing for time?
It's Friday night. I'm up for it.
Okay.
Friday night, I am more myself on Friday night than any other day of the week because it's Friday.
I hear you. I just wanted you to reiterate one thing, and that is why victims sometimes return or stay with abusers. I think that is so key as to why they return or stay with the abuser, if you could answer that.
They are addicted just like a substance. That trauma bond that's built, I'm going to try to simplify the neuroscience of it so I won't be boring. I always tell everybody, I read so you don't have to. But when somebody is wonderful to you, and pop psychology calls it love bombing, and in psychology we call it idealizations. So they vacillate between idealizing you and discarding you and devaluing you. So they start out being, you know, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And then when you least expect it, they built up that pedestal and told you you're beautiful, you're wonderful, you're talented, you're gifted. But then they tear that pedestal down. So when you're being built up, you get all this dopamine. It's just dopamine is like morphine. We make our own dopamine. We make our own morphine. You get all these feel-good chemicals of serotonin and norepinephrine and just feel wonderful. And then when they're horrible and discard you, you get anxious, just like you do when you're looking for a fix. Like if it's big difference between I want to drink and I need a drink. It's that fix. It's that chemical, clinical hook that makes you believe you're going to die if you're not with that person. That is not just codependency. That is addiction. And codependency is treated like an addiction because you're using people to make you feel better and not make you feel alone. And in doing that, you're creating your own chemical addiction through actually chemicals in your body created by another person who makes you believe you're only going to be happy with them. And then they just discard you. they build you up, they throw you out. They build you up, they throw you out. And that intermittent reinforceable addiction. And you just can't get the feeling back unless you're with them. And this is why people say, but I can't leave, I can't leave. They really can't. And I hope somebody out there that might have been judging people who don't leave these relationships, I want you to know it takes 7 or 8 times for someone to go through rehab of a substance to really quit, not rehab in a hospital. I'm just talking about to quit drinking, quit smoking, quit doing anything they shouldn't be doing for their body. The same thing is true of domestic violence. A domestic violence victim will take 7 or 8 times to develop an exit strategy that actually works. Because every time they do it, they get a little more resilience to it. Every time you lay those cigarettes down, you get a little more resilience and resistance to it. So I'm just begging you, please don't put invisible gavels out there where when you say, why doesn't he just leave? Why doesn't she just leave? They can't just leave. They need an exit strategy. They need support and love to do that. Like the gentleman said earlier, they need love. They need understanding, not judgment and not criticism because they're addicted. And addiction is an illness. It's an illness, and it can be treated. So hopefully that made sense of why they can't just leave.
It does. And some people confuse that with love, that whole cycle. They think
yes.
that I'm in love with this person, you know. I really do love him because of that the release of the dopamine that you were talking about. They just get addicted to that rush.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And that's what they call it, fawning, a word that they sometimes use is you fawn. And fawning is when you are, because this happens when you're a child, you look to the parent who's harmed you to keep loving you. That, when you get older, you creates attachment disorders, and the very people who are hurting you are the very ones you look to help you. I hear this all the time. It's like, oh, you know, I don't know how I'm going to live because my best friend was this person who just dumped me. How am I going to live without, I need to talk him or her because I feel badly and I need a friend to talk to. But they're looking to the person who hurt them to make them feel better, and that's never a good source to go to. And that's why I love that song you had on about Lord Hold My Hand, because there's a spiritual component to this too. They chip away at your spiritual beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger than you that's protecting you. They chip away at your belief that something in you is connected to that spiritual source, whatever that source is for you. I never judge people's source. And, you know, even people that are atheists have a moral compass. They get it from somewhere. And so they chip away at spiritual well-being, and that trinity of a body, mind, and a spirit gets so damaged, because the second half of the title of my book is called A Holistic Approach to Healing and Freeing Yourself. And that's why I make that body, mind, spirit connection, because if you take a triangle and collapse one of those sides, it falls in on itself. So that it really helps to understand the physical, the mental, and the spiritual side of domestic violence, of any kind of violence, of even just having verbal abuse. It changes your brain. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you are spiritual in your own world. You will give up your own beliefs. I wrote a song one time that was, because I used to be a songwriter for a living, and I wrote a song one time and I said, and I'm going to write the opposite of my marriage. And my husband was a record producer and he did not notice. He was so narcissistic. He just didn't notice that I wrote this song was the opposite of our marriage. And the beginning lines were, I'd lay down my life, surrender my soul, let go and let you take control just because you never asked me to. And I was writing the opposite of my marriage.
Wow.
And I'd forsake everything I believe just because you never asked me to. I was writing the opposite of what I did. And that was when I was just beginning to go into graduate school and learning what a trauma bond was, and I was breaking the sinews of it myself with an exit strategy that took about 5 years to complete. So they can be 5 minutes, they can be 5 days, they can be 5 years. When you have the knowledge is power, but you can't just leave. I wasn't financially sound. I had no place to go. I mean, these are things that take strategy, exit strategies. So hopefully that helps someone out there.
We have another caller in the queue, caller 6. Can you please tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Mo Garman. This is
I am fine. International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting nominee, Terrence Strand. How are you?
Oh. I'm doing fantastic this evening. I'm loving the show. First of all, congratulations on your connection record. Well deserved, and your fabulous guest this evening.
Thank you.
I just want to make some comments about what she's saying and how important the information is that she's putting out there tonight for everyone, because there's a lot of pain out there, and there's a lot of people, there's a lot of us that need healing and don't understand the mechanics of it. You know, don't understand how to begin to move towards healing and what's going on. And it's so, so important for us to learn this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It is so important for us to learn this. And enough of us don't go down that path. We just live and cause inconvenience and damage to our families and to ourselves and unhappiness and everything. And it's just so, so important. So these topics that you're having on your show, your guest is, she's really good and very informative. And I like how she's really breaking it down, you know, from a scientific perspective, from a technical perspective, what's really going on with the brain and everything, and how we can reverse it. It's just so important. And we need to have more of these conversations so that we can be better and healthier in our relationships.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but thank you, because
no,
the neuroscience the neuroscience of this is so important because it takes all the stigma off of it and tells you that because of a relationship you have or had with your parents that you carried into your adulthood, because it doesn't always work that way, that there's science behind this and there's biology behind it, and it helps relieve some of that stigma and embarrassment and shame to say, oh, my gosh, there's a physical reason that I crave this person who's horrible for me, just like a bottle of vodka. I mean, that
right.
is what it's down to. And hopefully, you know, it helps people take the gavels off their own head. I had to learn the biology of it, so I took the gavel off mine. I mean, I'm not ashamed that these things happen to me because it gives me more compassion to help people out who've been through this. It gives me more empathy. And I tell people that come in my office and go back to their abusers, I go, you can go back to him or her 1,000 times and my door is open 1,001. Because you can come back anytime you want. I will never judge you for going back because there's every time you go back, you're going to learn a little bit more about yourself from being in a relationship with someone who's not good for you. And it's what you may need to learn to get your rock bottom like an addict to find your way out. And that's why I always give them that hand out to get out. So thank you for making that comment because there's so much biology to this.
That's great. Outstanding. So I just want to say congratulations to your guest. And Mo, great show. And I'm just going to sit back and listen to the rest of the show. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a track next by All International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O.
Sirens moan. I can't escape the beating question, where do I belong? Boundary lines lie before me, I cross into the unknown. I try to leave my fears behind, try to carry on. Every day sing a song of praise, we've come this far by grace. And when you pray to find your place, love will lead the way. Find your
This is Breaking the Silence with Mo Garman, and we have caller 7 in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Hello, how are you, Mo Garman? This is Antonia Batts.
Wow, Antonia Batts, International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting nominee. How are you tonight?
Well, you know, even better now that I got an opportunity to hear your show. If anything, I'm impressed by not only yourself but your guests as well. And I say that you two pretty much are managing to help a lot of people by just talking about something that I've heard about since I returned back up north here to Philadelphia years ago. The subject of psychiatry and the psychotics and all of that, I was not really highly in tune to what was going on. But I did notice that throughout life, from time to time, I did hear people say that you know, to the children especially. And by the way, hello, how are you, young lady, to the listening world of Mo Garman's radio station, the Faith segment. And I did hear people often tell kids something's wrong with them. And some kids, they hung on it too much to the point where it seems to interfere with them as they've grown up and manage to sometimes not even manage to graduate school because of even adults who told some children something must be wrong with them. I've seen a couple of situations while my child was in grade school at the time, and it was a person who was placed in charge of the children they consider disciplinarian problems. She was, you know, of African-American descent, you know, about mid-30s at the time. And once this child who was around that middle school age was told he's gay because the children would tease him. And it wasn't true at the time that I know of, but it seemed like that child was affected. Now, I was told as a result, you know, when you even especially have an adult that's put in charge of these children to sit there and beat into their head something that may or may not be true, it really can change their whole life in a way that they did not expect and did not want. Not that it was, you know, anything I'm saying, but to confirm it. But I just heard stories about it. But I really wanted to say this in particular, if you don't mind. There's an event coming up that's put out there on the events hotline. There's a virtual reality title to this particular event called Withdrawal from Psychotic Drugs, that psychiatric drugs. And it's a free event, and I just didn't realize that things had become so out of line that now they have to have people to offer lectures how to come out of the usage of psychiatric drugs, because maybe for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe they were given the wrong type or people felt as though it was a good time to wean certain individuals off, that it would be so serious they have to create forums just to discuss about how you can go about weaning people off of these particular drugs. It gets a little scary because as many people we have out there who people are unsure of what their psychosis is, I guess, they just don't seem to understand that those drugs weren't necessarily the answer, so now they have to create another thing in order to just wean them away from us. Could you please reply about how that works? And by the way, I love the show. It's really great. So thank you.
Yes, it was.
And can you go back to the child one? I missed, the phone broke up a little bit, the actual question.
Oh. The title of that forum on Eventbrite is called Withdrawal from Psychiatric Drugs. And it appears that a lot of this must be something due to maybe a mis-evaluation of whatever the, you know, the title of what somebody's
like
been accused of having. You could take it from there, I guess, right?
Yeah. I love these questions. I'm not a doctor, so I have to, you know, I always say I have an invisible lawyer standing next to me who tells me I can't give legal advice or medical advice. But
mm-hmm.
yes, they are. So many people, the psychotropic drugs, and they use. I have to be so careful because I'm not a doctor, but I do see,
right.
in overall, in general, when people come in, they're not working for them in the way that they should, because everyone's brain is different. So I'm just praying for a day that we will individualize treatment. There's not a one size fits all, not in therapy, not in medication. Like, one person needs Tylenol, the other one needs aspirin. You know, it's just that each body is different. That's why when you go see pain relievers in a drugstore, there's 30 or 40 different kinds, because different kinds work for different people. So yes, withdrawals from some of these psychotropic drugs can cause a lot of problems, and they can cause some post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms into themselves. So yes, it's a great concern, some of the drugs we're using that are altering people's brains. And then in doing so, some of they're not even acting like themselves. So I hope that kind of shed the light without me giving medical advice.
Right.
I'm going to give a referral here, Antonia. I guess because I am a former worker in the health field, but I am going to give a shout out to the Almond Clinics. The man is the Almond Clinics. What he did is he went and he found just what you were saying, that a lot of people were on the wrong medication,
mm-hmm.
and he mm-hmm. developed some techniques on how to do different types of brain scans to put you on the correct psychotropic medications.
Yeah.
So I would refer anybody
Thank you, Mo, because Almond Clinics are great. What Almond did, like, he does positive emission topography, which is amazing. It's just right on the subject we're doing. The doctor himself, he told his story and was transparent. That's how we all heal, is hearing everybody else's stories by our testimonies. The enemy is defeated. And he talked about how his wife had left him, and he was traumatized, and he had used his own PET scan equipment to look at his brain, because
yeah.
he said, I was getting off at the wrong exit. I was losing my keys. I didn't know what I was doing. And so he had a baseline testing his equipment, and then he had a PET scan of his brain after his wife left him, and he compared them, and it had done damage to his brain to be abandoned. And
mm-hmm.
and this started a whole group of clinics where he could see inside each person's brain to see there was a deficit and to fix it chemically, medically, spiritually, physically, you know, therapeutically. Thank you, Mo, for reminding me. Dr. Almond is amazing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it from an individualized perspective. It's not just a one-size-fits-all.
No.
It's an individualized perspective on how to treat you.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well,
okay.
Thank you so much. You shed a lot of light on something that if someone would ask me, I could just, you know, hopefully relay it similarly to what you all had said. And I appreciate it. So you all are just great. Thank you.
Thanks for
calling in, Antonia. Mental health is not mental. It's in your brain, which is in your body. So thank you for bringing up the science. Appreciate it.
We're going to have final thought at this time. From our guests, do you have anything that you would like to add at this time? You can provide us with your contact information.
Well, my name's Mary Joy, and it has an E on the end, J-O-Y-E. And you can find me online by typing that in, a licensed mental health counselor. I also am at winterhavencounseling.com. And like I said, my books are on Amazon, Books a Million, wherever you buy books. And my courses on dailyohm.com are a lot about trauma and the brain and healing. And they're more like interactive courses where you answer your own questions. Again, not a one-size-fits-all. My book definitely isn't a one-size-fits-all. At the end of every chapter, you're writing your own things that you gained from that chapter for your personal life. And when you find out what you don't want, you know what you do want in life, and then you start making lists. My book is very simple. You just make lists at the end of what you do want and don't want. Side is what you do. So you're only left with what's right for you. So people are writing their own help book. They're writing their own self-help book at the end in 10 pages or less, and they can have that with them for life, because when you read some self-help books, you forget because you didn't write it. But this one, you're writing it. So people can rewrite the narrative of their lives. Mo, you did. I did. We opened and exposed ourselves, and it was scary at first. I don't know if it was for you. It was for me. And I'm so appreciative that you've allowed me to share with your audience, because I still feel the tinge and the fear a little bit when I share my story. And it's okay, because I know, okay, that trauma's still there. But I know that in helping someone else, we're helping ourselves and anybody else out there who wasn't brave enough to call in or is sitting in a corner of a closet with an abuser listening to this through headphones because they can't let this person hear that. And I know this happens sometimes with these kind of shows. So thank you for allowing me to share and care and make everybody I just felt a lot of love tonight. I really did. I felt love. That's a great way to end
Wonderful.
The week. Thank you.
Wonderful. Now we go to Ningozi time.
Well, first of all, I want to thank all the folks at Counting Out Robbery to listen tonight. Listen to what we have to offer right here on these outstanding, topics we give on a constant basis for 6 or sometimes 7 times a week right here at WDNN. We are off tomorrow, but next Saturday we'll be right back with, of course, Shannon Stanton. And on Sunday, we have, again, News Farm with Chinchilla Jay right here at WBNN at 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time. And, of course, we have advertising through Ningozi Time Multimedia. We are at Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram at Ningozi Time. And, of course, Ola Dele Malewa goes there at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight, Ola Dele dinegoeswithmy@gmail.com. And I am. Your mother and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malewa Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there on Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis tonight. Congratulations to Mo Garmin on her 3rd WBNN All-Time Connection record tonight with the Darlene Lawrence Championship. And now for the next 2 minutes and 10 seconds left to go to the program, Ms. Mo Garmin, take us home.
I just want to remind everybody, never let someone who contributes so little to a relationship control so much of it. And thank you all very much for listening. Have a good night.